Proverbs today. I'm going to be looking at several different Proverbs. So just kind of take note of that, because we'll be highlighting several along the way today. If you want to get started, we'll be in Proverbs chapter 28. Will be kind of our start-off point. And the scripture, I'll just read it to begin with. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, "He who conceals his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion." Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this new day. We thank you, Lord, for this first Sunday of a new year. And Lord, it's our desire to start afresh this year with you and to put you first and foremost in our lives. And so, Father, as we would come out together this morning, we pray that you might be glorified. We pray that you might be exalted in our midst. We thank you for the steps of faith that some in our congregation are taking, Lord, and following after you, and seeking, Lord, to serve you with their whole lives overseas. We pray that you'd bless them today. Father, use this time period, use us in this time period to effect change for your gospel's sake in our own community as well. We thank you, Father. We pray that you might be glorified here today. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. New Year's offers us, if we take the opportunity, offers us the opportunity to consider making changes in our lives. Some of these are minor changes. Some of these are more radical. Some of you, I'd like to ask, how many of you made a resolution this year? Anybody make a resolution? How many of you have already broken the resolution? I quit making them a long time ago. But nonetheless, if you did, I encourage you, to do that. I think that New Year's gives us the opportunity to think about things in our lives and maybe kind of offers us the opportunity to reboot, you know, in our lives. Rebooting is something we do with our computers, right? That's a troubleshooting method. Things are going wrong with our computer. I know nothing about computers, but I do know about this. And your program locks up or it's not responding and you shut it down, you restart it, or you hit the control. What is it, Control-Alt-Delete? You hit that, and hopefully it works its little magic, and it starts over. Sometimes there's areas in our lives, maybe more than one area in our lives, in which we would really like to start over in. You know what? The good news is in Jesus Christ, you can. You can start over. And your life maybe is going completely off track. You feel like you're bogged down. You just simply aren't moving forward. Maybe you're like that man that Jim was talking about. You just have a restlessness. You know what? You can start afresh. And that's what I'm going to be preaching on all out of the book of Proverbs today. All out of the Proverbs today. I'm starting afresh. And we're going to notice several Proverbs, to realize five steps that we can take to start anew, to start afresh in this new year. All the main passages, as I said, are coming from Proverbs today. And Proverbs are what are called the wisdom literature. And I think most people I know want to be wise. So if you want to be wise, read the Proverbs. Read the Proverbs, one chapter of Proverbs a day. There's 31 chapters. You get through it a month, you go through it 12 times in a year if you want to be wise. If you want to just continue to be a nincompoop, don't read the Proverbs, all right? Most of them are written by Solomon, who just happened to be the wisest man who ever lived. So, again, I want to, for you kids that are listening this morning, I want you to realize I'm laying this out as an acrostic, okay? So the first letter of each main point is going to contribute to a word. After the service is over, if you can tell me, the first one of you, let's say 12, 14 and under, 12 and under, if you can come and tell me what that word is, you'll have a prize. Okay? May not be a very big prize, but you'll have a prize. So, we're going to realize five new steps or five steps to take to start and to ensure a fresh start for 2018, right? First is found in Proverbs 28:13 there, the passage that I just read, and the first is stop making excuses for personal failure. One of the easiest things to do is blame somebody else for my own problems. It's more convenient, it's easier to do, and I don't have to face up the responsibility that I'm the jerk that caused the problem in the first place. Right? The first step we have to take to ensure that a new start is to stop making excuses for our past failure. We have to quit and take responsibility, quit making excuses for everything that's happened in the past. So many people want to make an excuse. Excuses, excuses, excuses. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and what? Clings to them? No. Forsakes them will find compassion. Confession. Confession. I know we're good Protestants, or most of us who are here today are good Protestants. We don't like the idea of confession. The Catholics have got something right with that. We need to confess our sins. We need to confess our sins. Confess it says, what does it say? To one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes. I'm not going to confess my sins to anybody. I'm not going to humble myself before somebody else. What's the scripture say about humble and grace? God gives to us, right? And what's it say about pride? What's it say about these things? Confess to yourself, confess to others, confess to the Lord, and we'll move on in life. Confess the lies you've believed for years. Some of us have believed lies. Confess those things. If you have struggled with being lazy, if you've struggled with being undisciplined, if you've struggled with being critical, if you've struggled with being angry, confess those things. Confess them. And then leave them behind. Because your personal success will encourage other people to succeed as well. Anybody believe that here today, or am I preaching to people who are asleep? Huh? Let me give you a little story from history. I think Bill Pipes gave me the book called The Perfect Mile. It's a story about Roger Bannister's mile that he ran back in 1954. And he ran at Oxford University. Bannister was known, and he made the earth-shaking news of the day because he was the first man to break the four-minute mile. He ran 3:59.4, I think. It was seen as earth-shaking in the realm of running. No one had ever run that fast before. They actually thought it was impossible for a human being to run that fast. And since that time, only about 500 Americans have done it since then. And that doesn't include all around the world. It's actually seen nowadays as the kind of the barrier for an elite runner to be able to run, an elite male runner to be able to run. And what was once deemed impossible is what? It's the new standard. Why? Because somebody else did it. They succeeded, encouraged other people to succeed as well. Some of us live in neighborhoods where it's just failure after failure after failure after failure, and we just say, you know, we make excuses. It's somebody else's fault. It's the economy's fault. It's this fault, that fault, the other fault. Why don't you demonstrate success? Why don't you choose to forsake the lies, forsake the personal past personal failures, and decide that you're going to run your life with God's help, by God's strength, for God's purposes. You're going to make a difference. One of the main reasons for failure is a lack of preparation. Lack of preparation. You know, prepare. Take the time. Somebody recently, Billy Graham is almost 100. Isn't that right? Or, I think he's right at 100. 98, something like that. They asked him not too long ago, if you had it to do over again, what would you do? Billy Graham said, I'd studied more and preached less. Wow. You know? He'd prepare more. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, a sensible man watches for problems and prepares to meet them, but the fool never looks ahead and suffers the consequences. Are you a victim? Are you not a victim? Are you in the habit of, like, emotional buying? You know, do you get on the computer and you go to all the sites and you look at all, but they're all good deals, Chris. They're only good deals if you got money. And then the next month comes along and we're right back in the same place where we were the month before. And we get beaten down by that. Proverbs 24, verse 10. If you give up when trouble comes, it shows that you are weak. Failure is the path of least resistance. The problem is that often during trying times, we stop trying. We give up. Don't do that. If at first you don't succeed, welcome to the human race. Okay? Get with it. Pick yourself up. Get going. Don't just stop. Don't just give in. Don't just, you know, take the winter off, spiritually speaking, or whatever else. Very few people do things the first time. Very few people are naturally talented, naturally successful. There's a flyer in your bulletin. I think Pastor made it a reference to it today. Dr. John Kerstetter will be speaking at the Owls Luncheon in, what is it, 2 weeks, Martin? 2 weeks. If you look at his, if you look at that picture of John, and if you look at his biography there, a little blurb of a biography, he's a businessman, he was an ER doc, he was a decorated Army surgeon, flight surgeon, all these types of things. You know, you might look and say, well, that's just a great example of white privilege. White privilege, right? Or some sort of privilege, right? No, it wouldn't be. He was raised on the Oneida Indian Reservation in a broken family, and his mom struggled, barely make a dollar washing dishes, okay? Lived in the back half of a gas station for a number of years. Was told when he went to university, because he had this passion because of an accident, I won't tell you everything that happened, but wanted to become a doctor, and he met with the counselor for Native Americans at the university he went to back in the early 70s and said, Native Americans don't do well in the hard sciences. You need to study the soft sciences. So followed that advice, became a businessman, and all the rest of that. You know, got injured in Iraq, had a little thing called a stroke. Life's just been a bowl of cherries for him, right? No, it's not easy. Nothing's easy. Nothing's easy in life. But, you know, you persevere or you let life run you over. And all too many times, we allow life to run us over. So second of all, we need to take an inventory of your life and my life. Proverbs 20, verse 7. Proverbs 4, verse 10. Take time to reflect upon your and my life if I want to make a change in the new year. Reflection, preparation are important ingredients to success. Reflection, preparation. What do I mean by taking inventory? By this I mean that we should evaluate the experiences of your life, my life, all the experiences, the successes, yes, the failures also. Learn from your mistakes. Most people are paralyzed by the thought that they might fail in something, and so they're paralyzed to the point of never trying to start something. Amen. Failure can be your friend, failure can be your foe. You determine if failure will be your friend or your foe by the way you or I will react to it. But the first way to make sure you fail is to never take an inventory of your life. You know what we do? In theory, what we're supposed to do when we take Holy Communion, we're supposed to take an inventory of our lives. We're not supposed to just mechanically come forward and receive the elements and mechanically go back and slurp it down and chew it up. We're supposed to reflect upon our lives. Proverbs 20, verse 7, a righteous man walks in his integrity. How blessed are his sons and his daughters after him. You can spend your life chasing the American dream and trying to make all the money and trying to do all that that you think that is so necessary in our culture to do. And that's not where blessing is found. Man, you can follow after and try to, you know, fulfill your career, and you can try to fulfill your degree program. You can try to do all those things. Those are good if you can do those along the way. But walk in integrity. That's what the scripture says. Your sons, your daughters will be blessed after you because of your integrity. A good name, right, is to be treasured far more than rubies or riches or whatever else. What's the best thing you can give to your parent, to your children, parents? Pay for the college? No, I think it's about the worst thing you can do for your kids. Oh, I didn't hear very many. I think one back here said amen. Thanks, Bob. I'll take you out for lunch this week. Give them loads of money at your death? No. Make sure they get 5 lessons a week and 15 different hobbies that they're not going to be proficient in any of them? No. That's what we do in Iowa City. We've got so much discretionary income in our lives, we send our kids making them, you know, we're going to make them experts in 15 areas by the time they're 7. No, you're going to make them a wreck, a nervous wreck. That's what's going to happen. The best thing to do is live a consistent Christian life. Consistent. Not a meteoric type of life. You know, a meteor looks pretty good in the sky, but you can't, what? Can't cook food with it. You can't warm a house with it. Coals look pretty bland and pretty drab, but you can do both with it, right? Take an inventory means I'm going to be intentional about examining my heart. Proverbs 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for from it flows the wellsprings of your life. Above all else. Well, wait a minute, I got to do this, I got this project, I got this with the boss, I got this over here, I got this. No, guard your heart. What is it that pulls at your heart? For some, it may be an illicit relationship. For some, it may be an illicit activity. It might be an addiction. For some, it may be a pursuit of something that is not honoring of Christ. Whatever it is, prioritize your and my, we should prioritize our relationship with Christ first. I hear all too many mothers saying, well, my children is the first priority of my life. No. They are third at best. Third? I hear a lot of people looking up at me like, what are you talking about, Chris? Jesus first, husband second, children third. Put it in that order. Husbands, I hear a lot of them saying, you know, well, I got to do this, I got to do this. No. Jesus first, wife second, children third. Do what's best for your marriage. Do what's best for your employer. Like I said, go ahead, prioritize these things, but put the right ones in the right order. You are going to, if you are a parent in this community and you're a Christian and you want to live for Jesus Christ, you are going to be swimming against the cultural current at almost every point along the way. And why is it that we think academic success is ultimately more important than spiritual? Why is it that we think musical? Why is it that we think athletic is more? Why do we think financial? Why is it? Do you make the priorities of seeing your children, my children, grow in Christ or not? Take an inventory. And if you're not, instill or take the changes or make the effort that's going to take to make sure that you make those positive changes in the year to come. Otherwise, I'll be preaching this message or something similar to this a year from now, we'll be at the exact same place. I know a lot of people who are 40, 50, 60 years of age, and they don't have 40, 50, 60 years of worth of experience to them. They've got about 2 years of experience lived over 20 and 30 times. You hear what I'm saying? Same old, same old. Why? Why the same old, same old? Because they didn't learn from past experiences. I know I've said this before. My dad had a lot of real pithy statements, and one of them was, learn from somebody else's road rash. We were bicycle racers. My family were raced bicycles in the late 60s and early 70s. And when you hit the ground and you smashed your face and you got all, it was called road rash, okay? Learn from somebody else's mistake. Don't go through the same one time and time and time again. Learn from that. Take time to write it down even. What are my assets? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What have I got going for me? I got my health, have I got my freedom, am I still mentally sound? Don't answer that yourself. You may begin to question whether you are or aren't. Do I have friends? Do I have the Lord? Do I have a good church family? What is it that I have in my life? You know what? Every life is given, 86,400 seconds a day. You can choose what you want to do with them. Segment of our society will choose to watch 8 hours of TV a day. Another segment of our society will choose to be on their phone, their appendage, okay, 8 to 10 hours a day. But seriously, you try to talk to somebody today. You think this thing's a growth, you know? You sit down, you're talking to them, and they're doing this. What's the matter? You got a problem with your thumb? You know? you wonder if their thumb starts to go into withdrawal syndrome. You know, just boom, 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 boom. You've got 86,400 seconds a day. You've got 31,500 and some odd thousand seconds a year. That's what you get. That's what you get. That's what you get. That's what you get. That's what I get. That's it. What's your goal? What are you trying to accomplish? What are you trying to do for the Lord? Divide it up. Figure out what you're going to try to do. Third, act in faith. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The Christian life is ultimately a life of faith. The Christian life must be lived as a life of faith. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Anybody struggle with a few crooked paths this past year? A few diversions along the way, huh? Maybe a few roadblocks, okay? Trust in the Lord. There are three key words or phrases in those verses that draw our attention. Trust all of your heart. Submit. Acknowledge. The biblical definition of faith includes two key components. It is both my intellectual assent and it is also my trust. Intellectual assent is believing the facts about something or someone. Intellectual assent is believing that the chair that you are sitting on is designed to hold you. It is also then when you apply the trust is what you are all demonstrating right now. You're sitting on it. How many of you, when you went to sit down on the chair, gave it a couple little pokes, right? Pushed on it. Asked somebody that was maybe a little bit bigger than you to sit on that one first, right? And then get back up. Well, if it held you, it can hold me, right? No. We didn't do that. Why? Because we trust that we've seen it. He's been here for several years now. We can sit down on it. We can trust in it. The longer you and I walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we should be able to trust in him. Because he's held us up time and time before, year after year, right? Can I get a witness from somebody that's been walking with the Lord for more than 50 years? Give me an amen if you're over 50 in the Lord. Amen. I know there's a couple that are at least. Faith is acting in accordance to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 here. It requires a trust. It requires a wholehearted submission to God's plan for my life. You know, a track athlete may run a workout one day, may do mileage the next day, may do something more speed training one day, may go back to disc, may take a day off. Something like that may happen in his or her career. And they might think this is all totally disjointed. But it's not disjointed. The wise coach is looking and building this one upon the other because he or she wants him or her to peak at just the right time. And you add these components in order to get the optimal performance out of the individual. Have you ever thought that God is doing that in your life? The struggle you had last month, the crisis you went through a year ago, the word that somebody said to you a while back ago, the great mountaintop experience that you had or you're going to have, all of those are things that God is putting into your and my life so we can trust him all the more. Amen? Amen. Do you remember back in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, Peter and John go up to the people to the temple, to pray. There at the ninth hour, lying at the gate that is called Beautiful, begging alms from the people, entering in, asked the disciples for money. The man asked for something. He expected to get it, but in reality, he got way more than he even bargained for, didn't he? He wanted money. He got healed. Amen. The point I want to make with that is the lame man acted in faith, and there was a great reward for him. It was greater than what he ever thought for. Act in faith, believing and trusting that God is going to do something great for you. Trust God and act in faith for a different 2018 than 2017 was. Acknowledge or no, the knowledge of the truth, and that's God's word, brings faith. Faith is believing something, thus requiring something to believe. Our faith is based upon the word of God. Knowing what God's word has to say about something gives us the ability to believe that our faith should be based upon the word of God. And if you or I are not reading the word of God, you don't have anything to build your faith upon. This is the first Sunday of the new year. I want to encourage every single one who's in here right now, start reading the Bible through in this year. You say, well, Chris, maybe that's just too big. Maybe I've got some reading issues. Or what? Okay, make it. You're going to read through the New Testament this year. You're going to do that. It'll take you, I think it's 10 minutes a day, to be able to read through the entire Old Testament and New Testament in 1 year's time. Don't tell me you don't have time. Don't tell me. I have to tell myself, Chris, don't tell me you don't have time. Okay? Don't tell me you don't have time. You've got time. You and I spend more time than 10 minutes in probably the first 2 hours of our morning looking at our texts. Amen? Mm-hmm. Don't tell me you don't have time. Get busy. You want a different 2018 than 2017? Start reading the Word of God. You can listen to it. Some of you have got a commute of quite a distance while you're driving into work. Listen to it. Listen to the Word of God while you're driving. You got to get the Word in here so it affects here. The whole concept of faith is so misunderstood today in the church. The very basis of our redemption is we are justified by God through faith, right, in Christ. The Bible's constantly talking to us about faith, but we misunderstand that all too often. Faith is required to defeat the fear of failure. Again, so many of us, when we look at the future, we're paralyzed by our fears. Why? Because of past failure. You know, it took Thomas Edison, right? How many times? 1,000 times. Okay, before he came up with the right filament to, you know, do the light bulb. Reporter asked him, how do you feel about failing 1,000 times? He says, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention that had 1,000 steps to it. Everybody remembers Thomas Edison's name, but they don't remember the jerk reporter, right, that tried to interview him. People will remind you of your failures. Don't listen to that. Just keep walking with the Lord. Realize it's one more step in the path of success, right? One more step, path of success. How do you get there? Faith and works. Faith and works. It's like a rowboat. One paddles faith, one paddles works. How do you get there? Well, if you just do one, you're going to spin around in a lot of circles in the lake. Okay? Pull them together. Pull them together. You'll get there. You'll get there. Refocus. This is the fourth main point. Refocus on what is important. This is Proverbs 4:23. We'll get there in a minute. Living the Christian life calls for focus to do what is right. Proverbs 14:15 says, the simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. I said earlier, you live in a culture in which you are swimming against the cultural tide. The easiest thing in the world is to flow and just to go with it, right? Go with the flow. I see some things on the back of people's cars, bumper stickers on the back of their cars, and I wonder, what planet did you get off on? Or what planet did you come from? You know, it's like, what did you do? Did you bend over? Somebody once said, well, you're just narrow-minded. I said, yes, because I'm not open-minded. You're open-minded. You bend over, your brains fall out. Focusing on what is right means guarding what is valuable in life. Proverbs 4:23, I already quoted this, but guard your heart with all diligence or vigilance, your version may say, for from it are the sources of life. You know, if you had to drink from a stream, would you wash your clothes above it? Would you use the bathroom in it above it? Would you dig for gold above it where you'd be going to get your water? I'd hope not. Why? Because from it are the sources of life. Your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. If you feel depressed, if you feel discouraged, if you feel distressed, it may be because you're thinking depressed, discouraged, distressing. You're being given over to fears. You're thinking of fearful. You're thinking of worries. All those, give those to God. Remember that your heart is extremely valuable. Guard your relationship with others. Guard your relationship with the Lord, first of all. Guard your relationship with your spouse. Guard your relationship with your children. Tells us here, our heart is so valuable that it's the source of all that you do. It's under constant attack. The enemy uses all kinds of weapons to attack your heart. We don't guard against worthless things. I take my garbage out every Monday night, or used to. I guess I take it out Tuesday morning. And usually the garbage man is there by about 9 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday morning. When I'd set it out at night, I never had to worry about, you know, Dallas Robertson coming over and rifling through it, or Brian or Susie Wheeler coming over and jumping in and, you know, waiting around and picking out. I don't have to. Why? Because it's garbage. Okay. But I do have to realize I need to lock my doors. I do have to lock my car doors. I do have to do things like that. Why? Because there are valuables. We don't guard worthless things. We guard things of value. Guard your heart. I think it's very interesting. Solomon said, guard your heart. He said, make it a priority. How did Solomon do in that area? Not so well in the long run, did he? Started off well. Started off really well. But he gave his heart away to hundreds and hundreds of pagan women. And the end result was that he ended up turning his heart from God. Don't think just because you've run well in the past that you're going to continue to in the future without guarding your heart. Fifth and finally, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Make it a point to trust God. You know what? Tomorrow's going to offer probably 30% of us the opportunity to totally freak out about something. It'll happen. Sometime during the day tomorrow, about 30% of us will have the opportunity to freak out about something. Maybe 10-20% of us will get the opportunity today. Okay. By the end of the week, I dare say that probably by the time we come back, Lord willing, next Sunday, we probably all will have had the opportunity to freak out about something. Freak out about it. Some sort of problem, some sort of expense, something that somebody said about me, something that didn't happen, something that should have happened, something that did happen, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't put it out there for your nearest and dearest 1,000 friends on Facebook. Don't put it out there. Don't call other folks. Don't do that. Trust in the Lord. Don't get all worked up about it. Don't get all depressed about it. Trust in the Lord. You know, it would be so life-changing. And I don't have the corner on this market. I want to be very clear. It would be so great to say, my wife does a lot better in this area than me. Well, gee whiz, let's see how God is going to work. You know, I have to admit, I'm a pastor. I've got a couple theological degrees. I've been a pastor for 30 years. All the rest of that, sometimes I want to look at her and say, would you quit? Let me just freak out. Let's see how God's going to work. Okay, I feel rebuked again. Trust in the Lord. God has a plan for your life. Either God is sovereign and in control of everything, or he's not God. He's either God or he's not God. He's either sovereign and in control of everything, or he's not God. For the Christian, it's not the absence of the storm, but a deep inner peace amidst the storm in light of the eternal plan that God has for us that keeps us secure in him. Trust the Lord. Maybe some of you are sitting here this morning and you say, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Trust the Lord. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. He is the only hope of your salvation. I know the world may, and like I said, those bumper stickers I've seen on cars. Yeah. Every path leads to... No, it doesn't. Your GPS will tell you that. I mean, come on. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only mediator. He alone is the one who brings us to God. Christ's intercession for us is different from our intercession for one another. He has the merit. We don't have it. He intercedes on our behalf. We are depraved, guilty sinners. And you know what? He is the perfect mediator. The perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God that offers you and me a free pardon if you will receive it. You don't have to understand the deep, deep things yet. That'll come in time. But you do have to realize that you're a sinner and you need the Savior. And you're not that Savior. And I'm not that Savior. And nobody else is that Savior. Only Christ is that Savior. You need a pardon, but you got to accept the pardon. You need a pardon, but you better accept it in this life because there are no other options. There's no other chances. There was something that was written about 30 years ago in the Kansas City Times that reminds me of this, so as to speak. The item had to do with an attempt by some of the literary fans of O. Henry. Remember The Gift of the Magi and, you know, O. Henry, famous short story writer. And they wanted their hero to get a pardon because he was convicted in 1898 of embezzling. You didn't know that about O. Henry, did you? That's actually how he got his name. O. Henry! Well, you know, no. He had embezzled $784.08. Want to get that last 8 cents, I suppose, from the bank where he was employed. And so they put this through, and they were trying to get a pardon. Well, it came down the legal process. The legal process determined you cannot grant a pardon to a dead man. You see, O. Henry had been dead for 75 years. You got to be alive. If you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, as your sole and only hope of salvation, today's your day. Do it. Just bow your head and ask Christ to come into your life and ask for forgiveness of your sins. Say, Chris, it can't be that easy. It's that easy. Have you accepted Christ? Is Christ your Savior? Now is the time. Today is the day. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can push that reset.